George the watch pig looks like how I feel. He's got scars down his side. He can't hold his air or anything else. And from the missions conference, that's what's left of that pig. Now, Pastor's nice bright pink pig is in the bottom. If you don't know what we're talking about, that tells me you didn't make it to any of the missions conference. But I want to encourage you, we had fun with the missionaries. Open your Bibles to Luke 15. Luke 15. If you could, because I always covet earnestly your prayers. I have to go back and track a deer after church this morning because I took my grandson out, sat in a tree with him, and one, and we couldn't find it last night, and I just thank the Lord that it was cold and stuff. So I will be back there by 12:30, quarter to 1, trying to find a little 5-point. Okay. Again, this morning it's lesson 100. It's the prodigal son. And your memory verse was Luke 15. And the prodigal son said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And that what you have is the confession of the younger, the prodigal son. And what one things we can learn from this lesson is until you confess to the Father when you have sinned, it makes no difference if you tell the people that were involved. Because the Bible will teach you all sin is against God. When David committed sin with Bathsheba and he gives his confession in Psalm 51, he says to God, he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this, I think it's wickedness in thy sight or evil in thy sight. All sin is against God. I don't care if you kill someone else, you harm a young person, whatever it is, that sin is against God first. And you will never get that forgiven until you take it to who? Him. Always remember that. The world will lay you down with guilt. God wants to remove your guilt so you can go forward and serve him. If we confess our sins, he is what? To forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have this in the theme of the lesson. The parable is called the prodigal son. Okay, you could have called it the loving father. Amen, when you think about it. It emphasizes the principles of forgiveness. The forgiveness of the Father more than the sinfulness of the Son. Would you turn to Romans 5:20? We're going to come back to the main thing. We're going to be in Luke 15, but Romans 5:20. And it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, what happened? Grace did much more abound. It was the Father's goodness that brought the Son to repentance. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. When you're judging other people, say. For wherein thou judgest another, then condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Now look at verse 4, that's the primary one. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God does what? Leadeth thee to repentance. Okay, you've got to understand that returning back to God can restore your joy. When there's a problem between two people in a marriage, and one's holding a grudge or angst or an offense against the other, until that's resolved, that's always in there. It's always there. Now, first you take it to God, and then secondly, you deal with the ramifications of that. And you know what you have to do? You have to be honest about yourself. I hear too many times in counseling, I never would have done that, but they. You know what that is? That's someone trying to pass off onto the other person responsibility for my actions. Okay? I don't care if my wife hits me with a frying pan. No, she's never hit me with a frying pan. Sticks, baseball bats. Teasingly, okay? But no matter what she does, my actions, I'm responsible for. And someone will say, I just reacted. It makes no difference. A reaction is a choice in the flesh. The flesh will always end up condemning you eventually because it's about self and not about God. So you have this and you're learning with this. This whole parable, the parable of the prodigal son, is about the forgiveness of the father. And just, everybody goes, oh, that son was horrible. Any one of us, it's sometimes in our life, does actions that cause that separation. So all of us need to learn about true repentance. Recognition that I've sinned, godly remorse for the cost of that and that it was against God, endeavoring to restore when possible. Someone dies, you can't restore it to them. Okay, you have to restore it to God. But if you can restore to that person and ask the forgiveness and show them that you're trying to restore because of the sin, and then endeavoring not to repeat. 4 hours of repentance. If you learn to practice that in your life, it'll help you in your marriage. It'll help you with your children. It'll help you with dealing with other people. It's like when the people cut you off on the road and you go, you stupid idiot. Okay? I had a lady last week run up against my heels with her grocery cart because she wasn't paying attention and she was talking to somebody and I had stopped to look at something. Foolish me, okay? And you know what my reaction is when someone runs into my Achilles tendon on the back of my... Oh, I'm so sorry. It's okay. It's okay. Just add it to the other list that make me limp. That's okay. All right? So you understand that. You're going to answer for your actions and your reactions. And your reactions you do in your flesh, your actions are when you've taken time and you're not giving in to that first reaction. My poor grandson, I think both of them this week at some point or another, Derek and Kent, have surprised me or bumped me hard when I wasn't ready. And when Derek did it, his father got after him. You're going to hurt Papa. You know, I'm 285 pounds, and I look big, but you bump me when I'm not ready, my back goes. And his father hadn't seen that I bumped Eric on purpose, teasing with him, and he was just going to get it. You don't bump a teenager because they always give you more than what you give them. All right? And then Kent, last night of the meetings, jumped out from behind my door as I went in my office when it was dark. And he almost died. Okay? And so I have to turn around and say, I am so sorry. It hurt when you did that. It caused me pain physically because of the twisting. But you don't deserve me yelling at you and breaking something. All right? So you have to be careful with that. If you're a man given to anger, learn to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I love them. Can I talk to you? All right? This prodigal son here, he starts off, and let's go back to our text, Luke 15. Okay? We'll read it so you guys can be on the same page. Luke 15, we're going to start at verse 11. And this is Jesus speaking, and I'm not so sure it's a parable because he doesn't say it's a parable. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, what's the first thing he says to his father? Give me. You ever hear that? Give me. Little kids say, I need it. I can't live without it. I need it. I need it. I need it. Okay? I do gummy bears with the kids. Some of them, if I don't do it fast enough, they come up and they go, give me. Okay? We have a little redhead in our church. She doesn't talk to me until she wants gummy bears. I'll say, hi, honey, and she walks away. When it comes time for gummy bears, she comes up, and I could be talking to somebody, and she'll yank my finger out of joint to drag me to the office. And I said, you want gummy bears? And she goes, mm-hmm. That's her response to me. And I say, thank you. Thank you. And then she goes off. Give me. All right? You know how many times we come before God, and what do we say to him? Give me. Give me. And the younger of them said unto his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now how it works, the younger, because you have the elder son who stayed by the fa-. Normally a younger son, the elder son, he's the firstborn. And this is the way it used to work in the Old Testament economy. The eldest son, normally because you're talking a farm, a ranch, whatever you want to call it, sheep herding, however they did it, it would fall to the next, the oldest child. And he'd get two-thirds, and the younger ones, if they had to have it, would get one-third. So he'd get one-third from a very rich man. And he divided unto him his living. And many, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. I'm not the one giving everything to. I'm going to get away. This is mine. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. How many of you, I'm just going to ask a question, of your children have a smartphone? How many of you lived your life without a phone? One of the biggest things that Pastor Kenny and I deal with is internet pornography. It's unobstructed on the phone. People think, well, I can trust my son. I'm telling you right now, no. If you love me, you would trust me. No, I love you, so I'm never going to trust you. I don't trust myself. Amen? All right? If you trust yourself, you ever get yourself in trouble? Now, you're asking somebody who's trying to figure out who they are, who's got pressure on them, and you give because they say, give me. Let them be angry at you as a teenager. They will love you more as a 25-year-old. Help them understand, but don't give. Internet, the computers, if you're going to do something like that, you talk to Pastor Kenny, myself, you get with Joe Shannon to help you find a program that blocks it so they can't even go on the internet without coming to you to turn it on. And this is not in the lesson, but I want you to know, you want to protect your children. They have access to stuff you couldn't find in a movie theater when I was a kid. Plain and simple. And it doesn't show them the beauty of an undefiled marriage bed. Amen? Okay. So he takes it and he goes, far country, wasted his substance with riotous living. That was women who wanted his money, part of it. And when he had spent all, he didn't have anything to offer. There was no one to take care of him. And when he had spent all, there arose mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. So he's not, you know what's one of the worst things you can do to a good Jewish boy? Put him around hogs. That's an unclean animal. You know what I'm saying? He's got to take care of them. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave him. And when he came, how? To himself. That's when you can recognize it in yourself. When you stop blaming other people for your circumstances. We have an addictions program. When people get deep into alcohol or drugs of any form, it's about them. And you have to help them to learn to know if you want it to change in your life, it's going to be about Jesus in your life. And it's always about them. And if someone would just give me, I could be okay. He came to himself. You've got to come to that point where you recognize. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. So what was the father doing? Looking for the son. Saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. The wages of sin is... And is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now we'll see farther on when we deal with the elder son, but I want you to look at this and think about this. The story of this, if you take time to explain when you're reading to your children in the Bible, if you do, and you should, and you explain what's taking place, then they can have application to their life. Otherwise, it's just a story. You know, 12 spies went in the land. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Explain to him why that was that way. Okay, who was the fourth man in the fire? Okay, why was he there and how come he didn't keep them from the fire? Because you know what people say all the time? If God loved me, he wouldn't have let that what? Happen to me. Not true. Did he keep Daniel from the lions then? No, why? He went through it with him when they looked to him. Jesus can be your strength and your shield and your high tower. And you can all be safe to run into him. We were getting trouble as believers is when we don't what? God gives you a free will. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether it be the gods of your fathers on the other side of the flood or the gods of the people in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Okay, so you have this action here in Luke 15. You see the son saying, give me. When God got a hold of his heart, he said, make me. See the difference? And it wasn't make me a sandwich. It was make me as one of thy servants. I don't deserve your mercy, your grace, and your love. You know what we see here that's neat? As Bible believers, we believe in eternal security. Once a son, always a son. And whom the Lord loveth, he and scourgeth every son. God loves you. He brings judgment to keep it from costing you more later on. The father was looking for him. God's not looking to destroy you. He's looking to restore you. People in their guilt and Satan feeds them false ideals about the truth of the father's love. And the father loves you at all times, but he can't have fellowship with you till you make it right. And the minute you do, he separates you from it as far as the east is from the west. He throws it behind his back and he puts it in the depths of the sea because he refuses to see you in that sin that you confess to him. But people let that continue to eat at them because the accuser of the brethren will now then play with your head. Who are you listening to? You will listen to the accuser until you spend enough time to hear the words of the Father who says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And with outstretched arms, I have drawn thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When you hear that, because you will sin, I will sin. If you say you have no sin, the Bible tells us in 1 John 1 that you are a... And you just sinned again. Right? And his truth is not in you. God's word is the truth that has to be there to help you. So I'll get to the lesson. I haven't got there yet. Okay? But what you have going on is this with the application of the prodigal son. So now we go back to the beginning of the story, and the younger son demonstrated his rebellious nature by being, he's coming before, when they demand, I had fun this morning, I'm watching Pastor, he's up front and he's going to take the prayer request for the teachers and the helpers, and Uriah runs up and bangs into his knee and goes, and Pastor Kenny was talking. So Uriah, somehow, I'm watching this, his hand hits his father's leg like, man, listen to me, I want up. And Pastor looks down and he said, I am not picking you up. Stop it. I am speaking. You can stand next to me. So then the little tank runs up, which is who? Elijah. Boom. You know what it is? In our flesh, we will always think about what we want. And you've got to learn to try to think with your spirit. His spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. So he was being rebellious. Okay? It's in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. You want to give them good things. You want to show them your love. But if you let your children control your home, you are living in a madhouse run by the... Okay, that's what happens. So what was he? You ever had this? You ever felt this when you make it about me? He was selfish. He wanted his inheritance, and he couldn't wait until the old man kicked the bucket. Give me my portion now. He couldn't wait until his father died. He was, as he was saying, Father, I wish you were dead. Selfish people are always saying, give me. He was independent. He wanted to cut loose and be relieved of all the responsibilities at home. He thought life would be so much easier and enjoyable not to be part of his father's work. You know what I love about that? Young people, they get to the place and they go, I'm an adult. You need to treat me like an adult. Oh, you live in my house. You eat the food at my table. Your car that maybe you paid for is on my insurance policy to give you a break. You're not an adult. You're a wannabe. Hey, if you're not paying your whole way, he wasn't even going to pay his way. He wanted to get what his father was going to give him instead of earning something to pay his way. Give me, and then I'm going to be independent of you. We raised our children to be independent. That means to be able to deal with the world and know what it means to work and pay bills and take care of things. If you raise a child and it's give me, and they don't earn it, they're not ready as they're getting older. He was independent. He was covetous, all right? Never satisfied. You can't not enjoy the things money can buy you if you ignore the things money cannot buy. Right? You start looking at the blessing instead of the blesser. See, when the prodigal son came to himself, you know who he wanted to be with? His father. All the money and all the stuff that he had meant nothing. And all the friends, when you have something, Kent's talking and he's going, I'm trying to save up my money. I got a chance. I'm going to try to buy this truck. I need to. He works two jobs. Okay. He works. Okay. And he says, you know, I've got to do this. They can get their license or their permit at 15, their license at 16. You know, are very easily out in Illinois. And he's going, yeah, Papa, I'm trying to look for this type of thing. And he goes, and the problem is I got to remember that if I get something that holds too many people, then I'm going to be real popular because they're going to want me to drive them everywhere. He says, so I think I want a truck. And I can't put them in the back of the truck. It's going to cost you more gas. And he goes, save a lot of headache. They want something. He was, I want you to look at Luke, stay here in 15, but look at Luke 12. Got a similar story. You ready? Verse 13. And one of the company said, this is to Jesus, said, Master, speak unto my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. See, give me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge and divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of what? For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. When the thing becomes important, the person becomes less important. Keep an attitude that it'll burn. It won't be there. The relationship needs to be. My wife, her family lost everything in a fire when she was 16. You can be gone like that. Look at Mark chapter 4. We're coming back to Luke 15. Mark chapter 4. Mark 4. This is the parable of the seed and the sower. We're not going to read the whole parable, but look at verse 19. Mark 4:19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, entering in what? And it becometh unfruitful. When it becomes about self and the things you own, you won't spend time in God's word because it doesn't make it about you and the things you own. It makes it about Him, Him getting glory in the people that you interact with, the people that you witness to, the people that you help if someone is also helping you. And he was worldly. He chose the country that was different than his father's, riotous living, that was reckless, loose, and extravagant. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Are we in the last days? Well, we think we are. You know, they did it Jesus' time too. We should be, the way things are going, the way things lining up, it looks like it. This know also that in the last days, what? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That is the transgender, homosexual. It's not natural. Romans chapter 1 supports that. Okay? That's without natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means they can't control themselves. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. You see it? Okay. Now, 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. You there? You're getting there. You ready? 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's not even saying that they're not saved. It means where they set their heart on. You know, their saving faith, that's trusting God enough to save your soul. And living faith is enough to know that God loves you and help you get through this life. Perfect love casteth out fear because feareth torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first. That's living faith as you go forward. Understanding the Father's love. The prodigal son didn't understand his father's love until he separated himself from it. But what was he able to do? Return. And did the father stop loving him? No, but he had a free will. We blame God for so many things when it's a free will choice. And sometimes it's the free will choice of somebody that we're in relationship with, and what they do harms us, and then we say, God, you didn't keep me from that. It's a choice. Love is always a choice. God will choose to love you. Do you choose to love him? Luke Love not the world, nor the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, give me. The lust of the eyes, give me. And the pride of life, I don't deserve that, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, what? Okay. Now, he was worldly. He was irresponsible. He wanted all, we're back in Luke 15. He wanted all that he had. The word prodigal means wasted. He wasted his money. He wasted his property. He wasted his talents. He wasted his purpose. He wasted his opportunity, his minds, his thoughts, his hands, his body, his reputation. How was he thought of? He was a rich kid. The next thing you know, he's so poor that he's eating pig slop because the pigs had it better than he did. A little Jewish boy who's not even supposed to be near the unclean animal, not even touch them. He's in a far country, and he's taking care of the pigs because he has nothing. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to give. It'll leave you where you don't want to be. And it'll try to make you think, I can't come back. But the Father is always looking for your return. Amen? He hits rock bottom. Okay, we're back in Luke 15, verse 17. He came to himself, right? He had to face a hardship of life without God's care and presence. The famine brought him to a place he never thought possible. You ever get to a place and all of a sudden you go, how did I end up here? I never thought that was going to happen. I never realized. When you keep your account short with God, confess it quick. Doesn't mean you'll never sin again. Do your children ever get it perfect? Have you ever gotten it perfect? Ever got it perfect? Moi, nada. Not me. Not me. You come to yourself. He's working for someone else, Luke 15, 15, in a far country. His job is to feed pigs. They're unclean animals according to the law. He found them so hungry, he ate the husks of the corn and the stuff that the pigs were being eaten. Because pigs will eat anything. My firsthand experience with pigs was Steve Ford. At their house, he was clearing his property. They'd get pigs. He'd make an electric fence farther out, and he'd go get all the bad eggs from Wegman's Egg Farm. He'd go to the store, and he'd get all the old moldy bread. And he'd cook it up in a cut-off 55-gallon drum. And he goes, they love this, Bryant. And he'd cook and he'd feed those pigs. And then, you know, and then Bob Anthony, I had him get me a pig, and he was raising a pig, and I would help buy the food and the stuff. And then you get to the end, and you have to give the pig something to clean all the junk out of it. Because pigs will eat anything. But, boy, they'll make you a good lawn. They'll root everything up. They eat the poison ivy. They clean everything, and they get it all smoothed out. It's all fertilized with their droppings. And all you got to do is rake off the roots that they've pushed out of the ground, and it's nice and even when you rake it off because they eat everything. They're an unclean animal, okay? And he's eating this stuff. Sin promises you freedom, but only brings slavery. I told you, take you farther you want to go, cost you what you want to give, leave you where you don't want to be. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end, one end, are the ways of death. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is. Now you say, how does that apply? I'm saved. I got eternal life. Well, the thief has not come but for to steal your relationships, kill. Okay. He'll kill your testimony. And destroy. You continue in a sin long enough, it'll kill the relationship. You won't lose your salvation, but you won't be hearing the voice of God because you run from it. And it can destroy a marriage. It can destroy a family. It can destroy a relationship with a wayward child who refuses, because sometimes parents can do everything right. I want you to know that. You can do it right, and your kid will still make choices. And it can go far enough that they don't think they can't come back because they're listening to, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Never forget where they are. Strongholds. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and have a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Satan plays a head game with believers. Okay. He repents. He comes to himself. That's the beginning of real sanity in reality. It starts with sound thinking. He realized even the servants back home have it better than him. He knew he was doomed to perish. He couldn't live, can't live off the husk of the corn. You can't live off corn. Is that the only thing? It burns up in your system too fast, right? Okay. He was going to starve, and it was the consequences of his choice. He decided to turn from his sin and turn to the Father. Simple definition of repentance: turning. Turning in your mind because you recognize the sin. So you turn from that sin and you turn to the Father. The early apostles, they preached repentance towards God. If you don't turn towards God when you turn from your sin, you will just return to the sin very quickly. In your mind, you're turning from justification of self to acceptance of what you've done. And then turning to Him, because all forgiveness comes from who? The Father. The addictions program, that's what they're trying to teach them so they can go forward. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are..." All things are, present tense, become ongoing, new. Learning to live in that newness is what gives you the victory. Repenting is the only way you can get to that place. You still with me? He turned to his Father. He confessed his sin against his heavenly Father and his earthly Father. "I have sinned against heaven and before thee." He confessed it. He knew he was not worthy to be called his son. True repentance shows humility. You know what true humility isn't? It isn't when you catch somebody in their sin or they've done something wrong and you're trying to deal with them. If you're trying to help somebody, faithful are the wounds of a friend. If you're going to do that, be careful of what's going on in your life, because they're going to point to you what's wrong in your life. You should try to help them with theirs. Okay? But if you turn around and you go to deal with somebody and they go to repent and they go, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I told you I was sorry. Can we just let that go? Let it go. I'm sorry. Is that good enough for you? I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And the answer is, "No, I'm not." Because true repentance causes us to see ourselves in the light of that, and it's brings humility. God resisteth the proud, "I'm sorry," but giveth grace to the humble. "I have sinned against my heavenly Father. I have sinned against you, and I don't deserve your forgiveness. But I know it's wrong. Will you please forgive me?" See the difference? That's where the prodigal son came to. Repentance. It caused him to actually do something to make a visible change. God sees the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. If there's no outward appearance, don't expect people to be able to see your heart. We're not able to do that. Now, if we're going to love them and see them as God sees them, charity suffereth long and is kind, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Okay? So thinketh not his own. It's not after themselves. And then it says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity is God's love. That's why the other Bibles mess it up. Because they don't understand that all love's not the same. Charity is God's love. You don't find the word charity in the Old Testament in your King James Bible. It can't be truly applied unless it's through the Savior. He repents. So now there's rejoicing, okay? Verse 20 on, he kills the, you know, compassion kissed him. He says he's confessed. The father said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring in the hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and he's alive again. Your heavenly father is going, turn from that, turn to me. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. A person gets saved, there's joy in heaven. A great party, because now they've gone from the world to belong in to a different kingdom. But when someone in the kingdom lets sin creep back into their life, makes those choices, and they return, you know something? They're not looking to condemn. They're looking to rejoice. Acceptance of the right attitude will help give you victory over your sin. You hear me? You'll understand God's forgiveness, because they aren't going to look at you as what you did and what you were. You're now a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So there's rejoicing, right? The best robe would have been the father's robe. It showed the son had the righteous approval. Turn to Isaiah. Keep your hand in Luke 15, Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. I'm going to be preaching to preachers on Monday night at a pastor's conference. Brother Stiles has asked me to be one of the preachers Monday night. Pray for me. I'm comfortable here. I'm not always comfortable when I speak out. And I'm not asking that I do it in my own strength. I mean, I have to be able to speak clearly and succinctly. Isaiah 61, look at verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation and covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments and as a bride adorn herself with jewels. When you give it to God, it's like putting on, ladies, your wedding dress again. You understand that? I don't care what the world does to that. That's how God sees you. One of the greatest things I enjoy when I get a chance to do a wedding is to look at the groom's eyes when that beautiful woman starts coming down the aisle towards them. And I have yet to see an ugly bride. I've seen some ugly grooms, but I have yet to see an ugly bride. And you look at the eyes of that man, if he truly loves her, it's kind of like, yeah. There's rejoicing. He gave him the father's robe. 2 Corinthians 5:21, you don't need to turn there. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you're a new creature in Christ. 5:21 says, for he, that's speaking of God the Father, doesn't say that, unless you're reading the Amplified, put every word you can in the Bible. Okay? For he hath made him, that's Jesus, the Father hath made Jesus, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the what? Righteousness of God in him. He takes your sin and he gives you the righteousness of the Savior. Isn't that beautiful? The ring showed authority. The shoes showed he was above a servant, because servants don't wear shoes in that economy. The celebration showed full acceptance, because that which had been lost had been to me, this is a rejoicing story. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. So you've got rebellion, you've got repentance, you've got rejoicing. And now 25 through 32, now I read down through verse 24. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and dancing. He's the one who was the elder son. He was going to get 2/3 of the inheritance. His brother left him with all the work, and now they're having a party, and the brother didn't even know it. And he called one of the servants and asked what things meant. And he said, "Thy father has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he'd receive him safe and sound. After I've done everything, he's not like me." And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time. I am not as other men. I fast often. I give tithes of all that I have. I pray 3 times a day. See, Pharisee. And at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." Was he doing it for the love of the Father? What was he doing it for? "But as soon as thy son is come, which devoured thy living with harlots," I told you it was women involved, "thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." There was regrets. The elder son, it's the religion of the Pharisees. "I do this so I'm better than you. I've always been there. I'm better than you. I don't do that. I didn't leave. I didn't do this. I'm better than you. I deserve more." Who's it still about? Okay? He can't understand the celebration of grace and mercy. "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged." You don't know where that is? Read the book of Proverbs till you find the verse. They try to work for that. He was working for it. They won't celebrate God's grace on a sinner because they only see the sinner's sin. You know how much easier it is to see someone else's sin than your own? You know what you can do? You can confess all day long. Someone else's sin doesn't do you any good. It has to be yours to make your heart right. They think, "I deserve God's grace." You know what the passage? Look at verse 29. Look at the way the elder son spoke. He answered and said unto the father, "Lo, these many years I serve thee, and neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." Outwardly they look blameless. Inward their attitude is abominable. God sees it just as bad as the prodigal son who left. Because it's all about self. And it should be all about him. Amen? Lessons of the prodigal son. How do they apply to me? To my relationship with my Father, Heavenly Father. With my mother. Mary's not my Heavenly Mother. I was taught in a religion she was, but she's not. She's a sinner saved by grace. Amen? How does it relate to how I train up a child in the way they should go? And when they are old, they'll not depart from it. They'll make some detours, man. But the father is always looking a long off. And when they return, the arms are open. And all God's people said? Take a break.